legendary 77 WABC radio studios in the center of the universe, New York City. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. We are, we all got through Black Friday.
Yes. Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Almost. Almost. I will never, ever, ever in my life understand why people will go to a store at midnight or 1 a.m. to save $30 on a television set. I don't get it.
It's a tradition.
I know it's tradition, but it's stupid.
But they kill each other.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's just like they trample each other. They just, it's it's for the thrill, I guess. But
the
I mean,
Coliseum.
Yeah, I got the TV for, you know, $79, but I've lost the use of my limbs.
Yep. In the meantime, they all went out for fast food. They got some Starbucks, so they already spent what they saved. It makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. You got to count gas. You got to count poles. I don't know. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. I really hate Thanksgiving. I just hate it.
Why? Because
it starts with the parade in the morning and the insipid play by play by the people, you know, the newscasters who, you know, here comes the University of Lakatakataka marching band, and they do some like marching band version of, you know, Purple Haze. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then you know, all day you're waiting to eat, and it's one of two things. You're either eating dinner at like 11:30 in the morning, or you're eating dinner at like 10 o'clock at night. It all depends on there's all that stuff about the turkey and make sure the turkey's cooked and just and then the people who you try to avoid the rest of the year are all in the same room with you.
Yeah, well, you know, we had over our house, yeah. We had Republicans came for Thanksgiving.
Republicans?
Yeah.
All Republicans were guests?
Yeah. Well, it's a Republican family. They're very rich. But here's the good news about a Republican. They don't eat.
What?
They just pick.
Well, they drink. That's the thing. They don't want to waste the calories on food. The Republicans drink. Democrats eat.
Oh, that's what it is. And the Democrats, they eat too much. You know, and they talk with their mouth.
Well, it's not like they don't drink either, but they just eat more. But they drink more as well.
Who?
Democrats.
They drink more than Republicans?
Democrats eat and drink more. The Republicans just drink, and then they pick.
And they pick. Yeah, well, that's the way it was.
That's all.
A lot of picking.
What did you do, Manny?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my Thanksgiving really happens a couple days before Thanksgiving every year because my mom's a special ed teacher, and she throws a huge party in her classroom every year for mm-hmm. everyone, for the mayor, for the police chief.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's really sweet. But this year, she made all the turkeys. She always stays up in the middle of the night. She does it all by herself. And this year it snowed, so she was left with all the turkeys and everything. But you know what she did? She brought it to a homeless shelter, which was really nice. But yeah, so that's what I did this Thanksgiving. I just, you know, ate the leftovers from the homeless shelter.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that heartwarming memory, Mandy. It was really just a wonderful, it was almost like a Hallmark movie.
Well, that's my life.
Now, Constantine, you were in Omaha for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. In Omaha.
Because why? Tell people why.
Because I perform with the Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our tour is stopped right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a great Thanksgiving. I have a cousin that lives about 3 hours away mm-hmm. from Omaha. So we met up. And, you know, we're both really concerned about the salmonella outbreak with all the turkey meat.
Right.
So we got sushi.
Oh, yeah, that's safe. Sushi in Omaha. That really makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Omaha is known for its seafood. What are you, nuts?
Well, actually, they're also known for, like, an oyster bar, a really famous oyster bar.
Ooh. But there's water nowhere near Omaha. It's landlocked, isn't it?
It's landlocked, but they do fly in some fresh seafood.
Yeah. Or some catfish tempura or something
like that. Oh, God. That is just disgusting. And you're worried about salmonella, so you eat raw fish in Omaha. It's like, where'd you get it? From a gas station? I mean,
it tastes better than that.
Yeah, right. Guy pulls through the parking lot. Hey, you want some? Want some Toro? I got some Toro here.
Got some sushi.
It's almost fresh. That's crazy.
Oh man.
How about Mecca?
Oh wow, we went upstate.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, we went up to Little Falls upstate, and where there's, you know, there's not
which side of the family was this?
This was Megan's mom.
Oh.
Yeah, so we searched for a place to eat up there, and there's supposed to be some castle, and
and it didn't work out.
Well, the castle's known for having like Thanksgiving feasts kind of thing, you know, reservations and whatnot, and then they were closed this week. So, we found this, place that serves gator tail or something like that.
Oh, you had gator tail.
Yeah, just, looking for sushi, but we couldn't.
Oh, that's all right.
All I could find was gator tail.
No eel?
So I watched, TV the way you do on Thanksgiving, March of the Wooden Soldiers and, the usual stuff. But there was something on, I forget where it was, and it just reminded me, especially on television, I don't know why this is, but they don't teach these actors how to act like there's actual coffee in their coffee cups.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I know,
the way that they hold it, there's no weight to it, and they like gesture with their hand, and it's just, it's not one of the first things they teach you in acting class.
It
like,
is.
You know, the sense memory of holding a cup of coffee. They do the same thing with pizza boxes. It's like they tilt it, they toss it like a frisbee. It's just, it just really bothers me.
Very frustrating.
You're supposed to, suspend belief and make people, I don't know. Maybe it's me.
No, I understand, Rob.
I don't know it was me. Well, I think it's time to say hello to the Robbio Radio players.
Yay. Hi.
My co-writer, formerly head writer of Saturday Night Live, Mr. Andrew Smith.
Hey. Hoorah.
Musical theater actress who just learned what POTUS stood for, Miss Mandy Lee Thompson.
Yes, thank you.
POTUS.
Mandy of the United States.
That's right, Mandy of the United States. Actor, singer, composer, or audio engineer, and the best-looking guy on radio, Steve Mecca.
Woo!
You notice you didn't get as much of applause as Mandy did, just so you know.
It's okay.
I just want you to
know
that.
I know my place. It's all
right. Yeah, I know. But watch how much bigger the applause is for Constantine. Our requisite tenor, opera man, and not a bad-looking guy himself, Constantine Pappas.
Woo! Clapping for myself.
A tenor, so you're actually going to start calling you Pappas Roddy from now on.
Yes. I like it.
Yes.
I like
opera. And, of course, superintendent of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, actor, singer, writer, voiceover artiste, and rapper, Ms. Megan Samard.
Yeah! Yeah. Woo!
So, Mandy,
yes?
you actually had a professional gig this week.
I did have a professional gig.
And why don't you tell the boys and girls all about it?
Okay, so I got hired to be Strawberry the Elf for HGTV. It's apparently Strawberry and Jack and Hazel, and there's one other elf, and they are these characters that HGTV has come up with, and all the kids in the world know who they are. And they came to our little pop-up that we had, and they all loved me. They all wanted to be Strawberry. And we showed them all the technology that HGTV provides, and it was fun. Yeah, that's what I did.
See, I thought you were going to tell us you shot the porno that you auditioned for.
Well, that's next week.
Are you going to be Strawberry the Elf on that
can
one?
Can we use the costume?
I mean, yeah, exactly. I hope not, because Strawberry the Elf's wig weighs 10 pounds. It was hard to walk around in it, and the hat sticks straight up. It was like walking around with a sculpture on my head.
You're known for costumes and headgear that's stand straight up.
Your Halloween
costume, and now, it seems like you're just fixated on looking like a penis.
Now that you mention it, I had to wear a water bottle on my head once and wrap my hair around it for a show.
And
you're right.
Just why would be the question?
Because she lived in the 50s or the 60s. She was trying to tease her hair. That was the style, and then that was the only thing I could figure out how to do backstage to get it ready fast enough.
All right.
Is the head thing a strawberry?
No, it's an elf hat. It was an elf hat.
How did Strawberry get the name?
I think just because she has red hair. But I told all the kids I came from a I came up with a whole backstory, don't you worry. And I told all the kids that I came from a long line of berries. My dad's name was Blueberry. My mom's name was Raspberry.
Yeah. And your brother's name was Dingleberry?
Yeah.
What, and here's my question.
Mixed berries.
What if you're... What if your backstory didn't jive with the real backstory of Strawberry? Like, this is a character that's already been established. You said the kids all knew. So, you know, you're kind of taking a chance. You didn't research your role.
Rob, it's called commitment.
Yes, I think we agree.
As long as you believe in what you're doing, the kids will believe you.
So I think committed is probably a good place for you. I think we should just... No, you know, I don't mean anything by that. I'm just... You're just nuts.
Thank you, Rob. I take that as a compliment.
No, you're very, and you should, because I mean it as a compliment.
I know.
You know how much we love you, Mandy, even though you didn't know what POTUS meant. Just... See, that's
now
what...
I do.
But you you graduated college.
Yeah, you know, I was number six in my high school class. I graduated from Emerson College with honors. I'm very academically inclined.
But you didn't know what POTUS meant.
Correct. I don't have street smarts.
I wouldn't call that street smarts. It's not like, you know, somebody's going to say, oh, man, I can't remember. What does POTUS stand for?
These days, that's like pop culture now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. You just never disappoint. You're always just there. Whenever we need something
Thank
to talk
you.
About, we just turn to Mandy, and there it is. It just unfolds for us. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So, Constantine, when are you done with Phantom of the Opera?
I am done on December 16th.
Wow. All right.
Soon.
That's it. So soon. You got another gig lined up?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right.
Oh,
here we are.
He signed an NDA.
That's right, non-disclosure agreement.
He's talking about this gig.
Oh, I'm in a gig that we
don't tell.
You're actually going to get paid for.
Oh.
Anyway, you know what? You know what? I'm glad that the Catholic Church has that you can eat meat on Friday now, because the big problem with Thanksgiving was that you couldn't eat anything left over on the Friday after the Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
This only happened about 30 years ago, Andrew. Now you're just getting around to the fact that the Catholic Church is going to let you eat
meat
on Friday?
Well, yeah, because you know what? I was thinking about all those guys in hell who ate meat. And they on Friday, and they run into Hitler, and they say, "What are you in for?" And Hitler says, "Second World War, and you know, what are you in for? Meat on Friday." No. So the problem is, did you know that mincemeat pie actually has meat in it?
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
What kind of meat is in mincemeat pie?
Mincemeat?
Mincemeat is like fruit.
No, it really because I was raised Catholic and I couldn't have the mincemeat pie on Friday. I didn't want to go to hell and meet Hitler.
Somebody was messing with you.
Really?
There's no meat in mincemeat.
Yes, there is.
No,
it got its name.
I always thought it was mint meat.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Of course you did.
We need one of our listeners to email us the recipe
for mincemeat pie
from an authoritative position.
Yes.
A chef.
Right.
A baker.
Hopefully a historical recipe, because, you know, they may have changed it, right?
Yeah. Like certs now and, you know, Altoids.
No, you're still on mint meat. We're talking about mincemeat and whether or not there's actual flesh in it.
So someone out there, email us, comment on one of our pages, tweet us the recipe.
Right.
Let us know where we're going wrong.
Can we eat it on Friday? Oh,
yeah. Yes. Can we eat meat, mincemeat, on Fridays? Well, now we can because there's no meat in it. But you always could because there was no meat in it. And they don't have the you can't eat meat on Friday thing anymore. Why did you bring this up?
Well, I always thought it was me, because when someone says, I'm going to make mince meat out of you.
Right, and mince meat is, you mince the raisins and the you know, the other, I don't know, it's figs and whatever is in it. There's no meat. There's no meat in mince meat.
Well, anyway, it was a Thanksgiving
all right.
memory.
All right, fine.
We're holding off judgment.
Okay.
We got a professional opinion.
Okay, all right. Right, maybe like back in the Thanksgiving days, you know, when Sacagawea was having a feast, maybe they made mincemeat with meat, but I'm holding out for. All right, Robbio Radio Comedy Hour at gmail.com. Let us know. And now we're going to welcome back one of our favorite sponsors to the program, Mr. Bud Spurlow.
Mm. Yay!
Hey, this is Bud Spurlow of Bud Spurlow Enterprises, Inc. Have you ever gone to New York City and tried to go to one of them Broadway musicals? A person shouldn't have to spend that much money to see a bunch of people on stage acting and singing like these other people. But that's why you ought to come to Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, where you can see everything that you'd pay hundreds, heck fire, sometimes thousands of dollars to see for just $3.95. That's right, first-class Broadway entertainment at a Bud Spurlow price. Now, I know what you're saying. Bud, how do you do it?
Bud, how do you do it?
Easy as pie. A play is just a bunch of words on a page, and a musical is just a bunch of words on a page that people wind up singing. At Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, we use the same exact words y'all get in a professional Broadway house, except perfectly performed by yours truly and my company of actors in a style that'll make you feel right at home. Thank you. At Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, you'll get nothing but the best musical theater from the Great White Way. Look, we got them all. We got that Book of Mormon. We got that Phantom of the Opry. We got that Pretty Woman and them Mean Girls. That Chicago, them Disney deals, Lion King, Aladdin, and Froze Up. We got that Dear Evan Hansen feller, even that Less Miserable feller. That's right, we also got them classics of American musical theater, and all at the lowest price available.
We seen Bud Spurlow's production of Mamma Mia. I swear them folks on stage could have been the Abacadabra band themselves.
Dancing queen, oh, that dancing queen, young and lean, only 17.
We seen them Jersey Boys, all of them, for just $3.95.
Oh, what a night. Late December back in 63.
At Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, we even got that Hamilton. You know how much a Hamilton ticket costs? You could buy a house for what they go for. But at Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, you can enjoy the whole entire production for just $3.95. Hey, I'm Hamilton. Yeah, that's right, Alexander Hamilton. And I'm gonna get shot here in a little bit, but before that, we're gonna rhyme some American history for you.
They even got that Wicked. I love The Wizard of Oz. And at Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, it felt like I was actually there. I'm defying gravity. Look at me. I'm the Wicked Witch, and I'm defying gravity.
But we don't stop there. You say you like opera, but you don't like the prices of those overblown productions of Rigatonio and that Pagliacci? No problem. Bud Spurlow's got no fuss, no muss opera. The way you like it. That's right, opera without tears. And you don't have to wear your good Sunday clothes to enjoy it, neither. Here's the Marriage of Figaro, Spurlow style.
Yeah, I'm the Barber of Seville. Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. Get your ass over here. Figaro.
Miss Figaro, I'd like a haircut, please. Short on the top and sides, long on the behind. You know, business up front, party on the back.
Figaro, 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 Figaro.
Is Figaro your name, or is that just Italian for how much this gun cost me?
Figaro, 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 Figaro.
Oh, okay. Can you break a 10 spot?
That opera boy done sung like a beautiful bird. Even though it weren't in English, I knew he was singing because Bud held up a card with American words on him.
Now, I know what you're saying. What about them concert-style shows, Bud?
What about them concert-style shows, Bud?
You say you want to go see that show where that boy play his guitar and sing about himself living in New Jersey? That Bruce Springsteen? Up in New York, you'd have to pay between $7,000 and $12,000 for just one seat, but not at Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn. Born in the USA, I was born in the USA.
Bud Spurlow's Springsteen show was magnificent. It was just like the real thing. He wore a t-shirt and jeans and played for 3 hours straight. I mean, he wouldn't stop. Lord, but don't that boy know how to go on about himself a lot. But baby, we was born to run. After 3 hours, my butt had fallen asleep.
So get your Broadway Tix Fix at Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, located at 329 Baylor Boulevard, just a half mile from the off-ramp of the Midas Peak Expressway between Shakespeare's Sugar Shack and Othello's Orthopedic Oxford Outlet, and right across the street from Roger Hammerstein's I Feel Pretty Beauty Salon. Remember, if you didn't see your Broadway show at Bud Spurlow's Broadway Musical Bargain Barn, you probably saw it somewhere else.
Figaro!
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot your tip.
Oh.
One thing you got to say about old Bud, the boy do know how to make a dollar.
That's right. Amen.
And don't forget, the podcast version of this very program will be available on Wednesday at OG Podcast Network and iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Play. And if you listen to the podcast, you should download it because it includes the infamous segment 4. It's all the stuff that you're not going to hear on the broadcast version on the radio. Like, Tom, you have to go to the podcast. It's all like dirty stuff and we're naked and all that. Hit us up on email, Robbio Radio Comedy Hour at gmail.com, or tweet us at the Robbio, R-O-B-I-O. It's a way to keep in touch with us, and then we can answer your questions. Next week, we're going to be answering some listener questions. Hopefully, we'll be getting an answer to the controversy over mincemeat, whether or not it does indeed include animal flesh. I maintain it doesn't, but we'll see. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on 77 WABC. Welcome back.
Yay.
Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. Now, those of you who are faithful listeners of the radio program and the podcast know that we have a continuing series called Death Can Kill. It's one of those reality murder mystery deals, kind of like 2020. We follow a murder case from its inception to its conclusion. So hold on to your hats, kids. We have another one. Join us now for another episode of Death Can Kill. This new storyline is called Murder on the Ronkonkoma Express.
Is he dead?
Afraid so, ma'am.
Do I get a free ticket for traveling on a train with a dead body?
Afraid not, ma'am.
What's your name, conductor? I'm reporting you to your superior. I'm disgusted with the service on the Long Island Railroad.
Yeah, well, take a number, ma'am. The legendary Ronkonkoma Express on the Long Island Railroad became the scene of one of the strangest murder cases in railway history. The 553 train out of New York's Penn Station that serviced the Ronkonkoma branch of the LIRR had become stuck at a railroad crossing. The lights went out, plunging the entire train into total darkness. But in typical Long Island Railroad fashion, no one was allowed off the train while it was stopped. It was then that tragedy had struck. I was punching tickets and the train was packed as usual. We got stuck at a crossing somewhere between Mineola and Carl Place, and the passengers got a little out of sorts. That's when this one lady found a dead guy in the overhead rack. Fortunately, a legendary Long Island detective, Inspector Nicholas Camaretti, known as Nico to his friends and the many criminals he had incarcerated, was on the train that night. He immediately took over the case as a favor to his fellow Long Island Railroad commuters and in honor of his mother, who is currently at the Central Islip State Mental Hospital for the criminally insane after killing his father.
After the train stopped moving, I remember thinking, here we go again. So I reached up to take down my shopping bag from the luggage rack. I had bought a sweater at Bloomie's on my lunch hour, and by mistake, I swear, I pulled down a dead body instead. I was shocked, I tell you. Shocked!
The body belonged to Jack Garvey, one of the other conductors on the train, the one who announced the stops. Inspector Camaretti had seen dead bodies before on the Ronkonkoma Express, but they weren't conductors. They were passengers, snoring like a buzzsaw.
The dead guy had his ticket punched, literally. He had been repeatedly assaulted about the head and neck with the conductor's punch. and appeared to have died from a hole in his carotid artery. It was his ticket to death.
I couldn't believe we were stopped. It happens 4 or 5 times a week on this stupid train, somewhere along the line. I live in Greenport, so I had to change in Ronkonkoma. I wasn't getting home until at least 9 o'clock. I hate this stupid railroad. I mean, I drive, but it would take me 3 hours each way. I can't take the stress anymore. I can't, I tell you.
It was a pretty open and shut thing. This was a crowded, rush-hour train. A lot of people had to stand, so it was obvious to me that the killer had to still be in the same car where the body was found. On those rush-hour trains, nothing and nobody's moving, including that day. The train itself. I figured I should go to work and start talking to people.
So this guy said he was a cop, but he looked just like another mook to me. I get hit on all the time.
Maria Papadetros was also in the fatal car. Inspector Camaretti thought she was suspiciously dressed as a woman of the evening, a prostitute. But he also assumed she was in a play.
I don't want to make assumptions or cast aspersions, but there was something fishy about Miss Papadetros. And it wasn't her cheap perfume, either.
We were jammed in there like sardines, you know? I was going to Hicksville, in more ways than one, believe me. But this guy standing next to me was kind of cute. So I give him the old bat of the eye routine, you know what I mean? But he don't respond. So then I go out, and I goosed him. Nothing. So I goose him again. Still nothing. Then I goosed the guy a third time, and this time practically up to my wrist. And he doesn't make a move. And I think, what is this guy? Dead? And he was. Usually I get more of a response.
Papadetros' story didn't check out. If Garvey's dead body was standing next to her, how did it get up on the luggage rack? I made a mental note and moved on to the next suspect. One of those Wall Street douchebags. Name was Cheney.
He took my seat. I got up, I turned around, and the next thing I knew, there he was, sitting in my seat like it was his. I could have killed him. But somebody else already had. But it wasn't me. No, not me, sir. No, sir. I may be high-strung, but it's a professional hazard. Excuse me, I gotta take my meds.
3 passengers, 3 separate locations. This dead body was moving around more than the elf on a shelf. I moved on to the next suspect. Another conductor.
I don't know who would have wanted to kill Jack. He was a sweet guy. He helped me out a lot when I first started. How to walk down the aisle when the train's really hauling ass. How to deal with a passenger trying to use an off-peak ticket at a peak train. He made the announcements, you know. Next stop will be Wyandanch, the next stop, watch the closing doors. You know, come to think of it, it was pretty annoying.
Tune in next time to Death Can Kill, Murder on the Ronkonkoma Express as the plot thickens.
Excuse me, conductor, any idea when this train's going to stop moving a... Inspector Camaretti! You got another dead conductor over here!
That's it. I'm getting a refund for this ticket.
On the next, Death Can Kill. Well, this looks like it's going to shape up to be quite the murder mystery.
Oh, it is.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Like Agatha Christie.
And it's cloacal. It's all about the Long Island Railroad.
My favorite commute ever.
Where you do want to kill people. We want to remind you... email us at RobbioRadioComedyHour@gmail.com. Ask us questions. Send fan mail. Is there anything you want to know about any of the cast members? Mostly about me. Tweet us at the Robbio. Check in on our Facebook page. Somebody, you know, mail us the answer to mincemeat if there is actually meat in it. The podcast will be available Wednesday. Wednesday of this week now. Make sure you check that out because it's got an additional piece of content. That's the infamous segment 4. So it's like the same, but not really. You get a little extra because that's the way we roll here on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour on 77 WABC. boys and girls, to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. It's been a good show so far.
Yeah.
Got a lot going on, a lot of very interesting conversation about elves and hats and mincemeat.
Yeah.
Remember, if you have the answer to this mincemeat question, this controversy, please tweet us at the Robbio or email us at RobbioRadioComedyHour@gmail.com because we need to know. We need to know now. and if you're listening to the podcast, you got to stick around for segment four, because the people who heard us on radio, which is the people who are listening now, but you won't be listening later on the podcast unless you download it or subscribe to us. But then you can get your segment four, which is only on the podcast. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to confuse people as much as possible. now, we're not all about the funny comedy stuff. We like to be socially conscious. We like to do... like to do things that improve the quality of life for everyone. So we're going to be listening now to a PSA for a very important subject that affects all of us.
Hello, this is Maria Margot. Usually, I come to you as an actress in my many feature films and productions on the Broadway stage. But today... I am here to share with you an important message about age fluid rights. I am the national spokesperson for age fluid, bi-elder, and elder questioning rights in America, otherwise known simply as AFEBEQ. What is age fluid? Age fluids, or AFers, are those who choose not to accept the destiny of their birth bodies. Instead, AFers insist on living as the true human beings they were meant to be. If you were born before 1970, you should know that you have a right to be age fluid at any time in your life, regardless of circumstances or Medicare. Through life-changing surgery, behavior modification, and counseling, millions of age fluids are now living the rich, full lives they deserve, thanks to advances in modern medicine and legislation to protect those who are age fluid. Allow me to introduce a giant in the age fluid movement and director of the Bertram Center for Age Fluidism, Dr. Henry Bertram. Dr. Bertram, thank you for joining me for this important message.
My pleasure, Maria. The age fluid movement needs all the help you can muster.
And I see you brought one of your patients to be right here in the studio with us.
Yes, I did. I'd like you to meet her. This is Melissa. Say hello to the folks, Melissa.
Hi. Ooh, great to be here.
And tell us, why are you so out of breath?
Marathon. Just finished. Whew. Pretty good time. 26 miles. 2.5 hours. Ooh.
That's really impressive. And you look wonderful. You hardly broke a sweat.
Right. I'm age fluid, you know.
I never would have guessed. You look and act like you're in your early 20s.
Nuh-uh. I'm 93. Got a birthday coming up.
Melissa is one of our best age fluids. Sort of a poster child for the age fluid movement in all senses of the word.
I can see that.
Melissa works full-time as a lingerie model for Victoria's Secret.
Wow. Well, you certainly got the body for it.
Gotta go. Aerobics class is starting. See ya.
Bye. Does she jog everywhere?
She does now, after her age fluid reassignment surgery.
Incredible. Doctor, you are changing how we think about age fluids, one reassignment at a time.
I hope so. You can live to be 100, but nobody has to suffer with the body you happen to be born with anymore. Birth is not destiny in the AFO world.
Thanks to the age reassignment surgery that you have pioneered.
Exactly. For example, society may tell an age-fluid male he should be wearing polyester pants pulled up to just below his nipples, and suggest to an age-fluid female that she should want to have the early bird special at Denny's 5 times a week. But for each of them, it just doesn't seem right.
Of course. And what of the third class of age fluids? I believe it's simply called questioning.
Well, it's a whole other story. That takes counseling before any surgery is recommended. But here, let me play you a tape of a 93-year-old male who is a questioning age fluid. This is an audio tape from our clinic.
Good morning, Arthur. How are we this morning?
What?
What? Where am I? What? What? Huh? Who? What is anybody home?
Oh my, that is very questioning. I'd say he's definitely age-fluid questioning.
Oh yes, it's awfully, awfully lot questioning. Too much questioning, really. At first, Arthur appeared to not be a candidate for age-fluid reassignment surgery. However, after extensive counseling, he was cleared for surgery and is now living happily as a 27-year-old male stripper. Take a listen to him now.
Hey, I don't want to humble brag, but sorry, not sorry. I'm Fleek. I'm Fleek AF.
Wow. Everyone should be able to live as the person they believe they were born to be. And one doesn't have to feel trapped in his or her birth body anymore. Thanks to you, Dr. Bertram. And thanks to all of you out there for joining us for this important message. I'm Maria Margot, and I'm not only the age fluid spokesperson, I am one.
Woo-wee! Oh yeah, baby, I'm 94! Not bad for an old broad, don't you think? 94 and smoking! Oh yeah! Eat your heart out, geezers!
Hey, hey, hey! Hey, Rob.
Yes?
We have an email just sent in, just came, from a Barbara Thompson in Walkett, Connecticut. And she is a mincemeat aficionado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. She's
and what is her contention?
Okay.
Mandy will take care of that.
Yeah, this is what she says is in the recipe for a traditional mincemeat pie.
Okay.
Mincemeat is a mixture of chopped dried fruit, distilled spirits, and spices, and sometimes beef suet, beef or venison.
Meat.
Meat. Now, it does say originally minced meat always contained meat. Many modern recipes contain beef suet, though vegetable shortening is sometimes used.
Oh. Well, so if vegetable shortening was used, then Rob would be right.
That's right. I'm saying that no one makes minced meat now with any kind of meat, even suet. No.
So in other words, nobody goes to hell.
Nobody goes to hell on Friday because there's no meat in it.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, really, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it.
No, but in the old days, we weren't allowed.
Well, I know in the old days, you know, they used to, you know, put the...
Forget the old days. She read the recipe. Beef suet. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
They worked hard to make it. A lot of blood, suet, and tears went into it.
You know what? I think there's no topping that. I think we should just get out of here.
No, wait. Go ahead.
And this is why Mandy is so important to this program.
Mm-hmm.
Suet is a disgusting meat byproduct. And it's been used for centuries. And it is true that you can substitute that. Many people substitute vegetable shortening for meat products all the time. But the simple fact is, you're incorrect in your inability to accept responsibility for your prone position. I think you have to revisit that.
Damn me.
Wow.
Damn me to hell.
Have you ever eaten suet, Gary? Have you ever eaten suet?
No.
He stays away from suet.
Have you ever eaten?
I'm sure it sounds like the type of thing that you eat and you don't know you're eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like something they sneak in there.
Well, you could fry it. You could fry suet, probably.
Well, oh, yum. I think suet also sounds like, you know, a female person that you're suing.
She's
the suet.
But they use it for birds, don't they?
That's right. They use it for bird feed. They take, you know those square things you hang from the tree in the little cage? That's suet that is filled and covered in bird seed. Because the birds eat the suet because the fat helps keep them warm in the winter.
Aw, nice little birdie.
So I'm just going to hang a mincemeat pie now from the tree for the birds.
Is that what pig farmers yell when they're feeding their
pigs? No, it's suey.
Suey.
That's a different. It's suey and suet.
Ah.
He says suey to get the pig in so we can get the suet.
That's it.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. All right. It's the circle of life.
You know, we should have just bagged it after Mandy's line about blood, sweat, and tears because it just never got better after that.
I can say it again. Just
never, no, it's fine. Don't repeat yourself. I'm already embarrassed enough as it is. Not only did I get proven wrong, but I actually don't even have the best line out of it. So,
well, to your credit, you were going for the more humane version of minced meat.
I was going for the modern version of minced meat, Mecca.
I get it. What?
You go to Stop and Shop and you look at the ingredients on the mincemeat pie, or you get one of those Mrs. Smith's frozen mincemeat pies. There is no meat in it or meat byproducts. It's raisins and nuts. And spirits!
You're nuts. Yeah,
the spirit of dead animals! That's what the spirits are!
Why do they say minced meat when they're going to do something bad to you? You know that?
It's a figure of speech. But here's... It does raise another interesting point that we're going to have to settle now. We're going to have to get a Mrs. Smith's pie.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? A Swanson?
Or Stop and Shop or whatever. Oh, just
we can
the
eat
ingredients.
It on the air.
And we're going to All have... Right. We're going to have to read the...
Okay.
Ingredients on the air.
You know what's funny also? I know...
And I hope then you'll be able to accept responsibility.
No, well, I'll never be able to accept responsibility. It's...
I know when Rob's really mad. Not when he yells, but when he goes, Mecca!
all right, Mecca, let's get out of here.
Why do they use mince meat when they're going to...
I know, you keep saying that, Andrew, because mince meat can be meat that is minced. Mince meat... One word is a different thing than mince meat.
No, he means...
I'm talking, someone's going to beat you up.
Right, that means that's when, you know, there's actual... When you mince meat, like chopped meat is minced.
I feel like we're mincing words.
Oh, there's no...
Oh, someone had to say it.
I'm glad you got the last one and not me. Mecca, let's get out of here. Remember, hit us up for an email, RobbioRadioComedyHour@gmail.com, or tweet us at the Robbio. Remember, podcast listeners, stay tuned for segment 4. Those of you listening on the radio, we'll see you next week. Our program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett, written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, featuring Megan Simard, Andrew Smith, Mandy Lee Thompson, Steve Mecca, Constantine Paparabarati, and me, Rob Bartlett. Original music composed by Gary Grant and Steve Mecca. Recording and engineering by Steve Mecca. Directed by Gary Grant. No animals were harmed in the recording of this program, nor were they put into a mincemeat pie. We'll see you next week, everybody, for another episode of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC. Here's what we just discovered, okay? For those of you who are just tuning into segment 4, we just discovered that Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson has never seen the movie Home Alone. She's never seen Home Alone.
And now we're all doing the Home Alone thing.
Jesus. Speaking of which, make sure we catch Andrew playing Macaulay Culkin on this.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
in the Ruthless Spectator Christmas special, which will be available on Amazon pretty soon, Andrew Smith actually does a Macaulay Culkin impression.
Yeah, he's really good.
And looks exactly like the way Macaulay Culkin looks today.
Yeah, he's fluid.
Mandy, how do you miss Home Alone?
Rob, I was really busy growing up listening to original Broadway cast albums and watching very sophisticated theatrical productions. I didn't have time to watch.
That's got some great Christmas
Home
music
Alone.
In it.
Home Alone.
You didn't have time for Home Alone.
Mecca, you're a fan of the Home Alone soundtrack.
I love Home Alone, but you know what? Mandy's going through what I go through when I tell people I haven't seen Die Hard.
No.
Okay.
You haven't seen Die Hard?
Die Hard is...
I have not seen Die Hard.
Die Hard is one of the best Christmas movies ever.
I was just going to say Die Hard is absolutely Christmas. We need to have a night Home Alone and Die Hard.
Double feature.
That's a good double feature.
Which one do we start with?
And it starts off with Let It Snow.
Yeah.
Let It Snow. I forget whose version it is, but no, there's some great Christmas music, but there's also a lot of shitty Christmas music. I mean, awful fucking Christmas music. Right, right, right. Everybody in their musical career has to come out with a Christmas album. The record companies is just part of the contract. You have to make a Christmas album. And aside from, you know, Elvis and Frank Sinatra and the Phil Spector Christmas album, there's maybe four or five decent ones after that, and the rest are just awful. I mean, awful. Like Baby, It's Cold Outside. Who thought that one up? That's like the date rape Christmas song. I really should go. No, have a drink, a baby. Really it's great, cold outside.
A really great version.
There's a really great version of that by Willie Nelson and Norah Jones. It's a very odd pairing, but it's really great version.
But it's an odd song.
I know, but it doesn't have any of that creepy overtone.
Right,
It's in the lyric. I really shouldn't have that drink and then not more steak, baby.
A great singer and a regular singer.
So she makes it sound okay that she's drunk and he's trying to keep her.
No, but she doesn't make it sound like she's the dumb broad that is being taken advantage of, or he's trying. Actually, in the lyric, he's trying to take advantage of her, but she's not letting him. She's like, maybe I'll have another drink, but I'm definitely leaving.
Right. But he's
my mother's waiting for me. My brother, basically will, he'll be kicking your ass.
But he's trying to screw her. I mean, it's clear he's trying to have sex with her.
Yeah, but haven't you ever said to a girl, hey, don't go.
Every day of my life. What do you mean? Of course I've said that before. Thank you for sharing that, Andrew. I feel so much better about it now. All right, so what's your favorite Christmas song?
To be honest with you, it's from the Home Alone soundtrack.
Which is what?
It's a ba-da-da-da-da. I actually don't know really the words, but I actually looked it up because I wanted to do a cover of it, and it's somewhere. It's called Somewhere in My Memory.
Yes, Somewhere in My Memory.
Is that John Williams?
Beautiful song. I think it is.
Yeah. He's John Williams.
Well, John Williams.
I mean, come on, guys. Come on.
Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and Home Alone, Mandy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Christmas song, Mandy? Go.
It's another equally as dirty song, and it's Santa Baby.
Oh yeah,
that's
different. That's Santa seductive. It's not. Come it's not Santa. It's not Santa trying to fuck a woman. It's just.
No, I think it's the woman.
The opposite.
It's the woman. But that's different. Have sex with that's, Santa.
I'm just well, kidding. It's not really my favorite.
No, it's a woman and being empowered and trying to get everything that she wants in life.
She's doing it for money.
Yes,
exactly. And I say go for it.
I saw it once when one of the reindeer sang that song.
Oh.
You know? Because
Santa Baby?
Yeah.
Well, that just kind of looks like bestiality. I don't know if we should even go there. That's just... Constantine?
What?
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Let's hear the story.
All right. Okay.
Oh, it's not even on the same track. Oh, man. So, it's not really a story. But, you know, let me tell you what happened. So, you know, Facebook... People share a bunch of things, random things. Well, I had a buddy share a video of 17 minutes worth of bad porn intros.
What? No,
it's opening scenes of bad porn.
And it's just opening scenes, and that's all it is. And I got to tell you, some of them were... I watched the whole thing, and I laughed my butt off.
But for research.
Yeah, research. So I'll describe one of them. Family sitting at a table. Grandfather, mom, dad, girlfriend, boyfriend. Boyfriend goes. He pulls a pizza out of the oven. Girlfriend says, oh, he's just going to prepare it with some special sausage.
Uh-oh.
He walks over. And, of course, they blur it out. But here's his dick in the middle of the pizza.
Yeah.
They have that blurred out with, like, some weird happy face. And all of a sudden, you see the grandfather go, oh, my God. And the parents look at the grandfather. Oh, I can't believe he's having a heart attack. We got to rush him to a hospital. We have to go. I can't believe you would do this. What's wrong with your boyfriend? This is terrible. And grandfather, I can't. And so they go off screen. And the girlfriend looks at the boyfriend and goes, how could you do that? He's having a heart attack. Well, better not let the sausage go to waste.
Hey.
That was the whole intro.
Hey-o.
We're in the wrong business.
We really are.
And what was your favorite Christmas song?
On a completely different note, Oh Holy Night.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Greek version?
No, no. just no. The regular good old English version.
No one wants to know what my
the
favorite
Greek
Christmas
version song. Gets sung 10 days later or something.
Yeah. We celebrate the 12 days of Christmas.
Rob, No. I just, nobody really cares. No,
nobody, nobody asked me either, so
well,
whatever.
Well, go.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Go. What is your favorite, Megan?
I like Seth MacFarlane's entire Christmas album.
Oh,
it's magic.
I forgot about that.
It's magic. It is so. And Norah Jones is on that. Sarah Bareilles is on that.
He's everywhere.
And it's I listen to it at least once every month. Doesn't matter if it's Christmas or not.
Mm.
Christmas, Baby, Come Home. Aww. That is the single greatest Christmas
By
song.
By whom? There's been three big hit versions. Can you name all three?
Three big hit versions?
Yes.
There's been three.
Well, Darlene Love did the original and the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the other two.
Okay. I'm afraid that's another item for an email listener.
All right.
Ooh.
Oh. Email us.
I have one more.
What, Megan?
When the River Meets the Sea from that Jim Henson special with the otters, the otter soapbox.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you sure you're not Mandy?
I'm sure.
That was like a real Mandy kind of a choice.
No.
That was just...
And no, but this is a big deal because they just released a soundtrack for this because this special was from like 1984 or something, and they just released
Emmett
Otter's
Christmas.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, Emmett Otter's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just released the soundtrack, so you can actually listen to the. And well, that's great. Like a lot of people are excited
you're
about that.
You're a big Beatles guy. Did the Beatles ever do?
Yes, the Beatles used to do Christmas records.
Really?
For their fan clubs, I think they did like four or five of them every year. And they got increasingly more involved as they went along. It used to just be them going, I just want to wish you a happy Christmas and a merry new year. And thank you for all the cards and letters and for buying all our music. And then it just got increasing. And then the last one they did was like this Christmas pantomime, this whole story with matches and candles. And then they actually had a great Christmas song, which was Christmas Time Is Here Again, which is not a lot of lyrics, but it's the coolest song on the planet next to Baby, Please Come Home. Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. And if you know the other two hit versions, email us at RobbieOradioComedyHour@gmail.com or tweet it to us at TheRobbio. And until then, we'll see you next week for another exciting segment 4. And, keep it in your pants.